McGraw in the Morning continues on the Big 550 KTRS.
Steve Cochran from McGraw at 752. Happy to have in studio Dr. Russell Hyken, psychotherapist, teenparentingexpert.com is the website. So we're all happy to have the family together for the holidays. But beyond that first few minutes and a nice dinner, well, you know, everybody's worried. And usually it falls on moms. Moms are always the ones that are worried. What do we do to entertain the kids? This is your problem, doctor.
Yeah, this is.
This is.
Well, it's actually not my problem. It's the parents' problem to figure out what to do to dinner and entertain the kids.
Yeah, so what do we do to say? It's not like you can put them in front of a video like they when they were at a four. What do you do?
You know, one of my favorite things to do is start a holiday tradition, whatever that may be. You know, we're here in St. Louis. Go skating at Steinberg. You know, do something like that. Plan for special shopping days. Maybe do a big return day after Christmas. But have annual events that everybody likes and looks forward to.
And even a family movie, right?
Family movies are great, and they all come out this time of year.
Right. Now, here's one thing, in my opinion, you don't want to do. Don't take a vote. I mean, there's got to be some sort of consensus of opinion. But if you go, let's vote, you're going to be in session forever.
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. Of course, the parents are the parents and hold the ultimate power within the family. But let everybody choose an activity. If you have a small family, that works out really well. So everybody has to do that activity that day.
Now, I'm lucky because I have two perfect children who love
How'd you do that?
Who love and respect me. Just ask me. But no, they're great kids. But to me, the toughest time always is the 15-year-old. Because the 15-year-old is staring down, getting their own driver's license and taking that step towards some measure of independence. They still need a ride wherever they want to go. 15-year-olds, to me, tend to be the most bitter.
You know, I don't know if they're the most bitter, but, you know, you have really good kids. And about that age, like you said, that driver's license, independence, the, hey, I'm going to be out of the house at college or on my own in 2 years. So they do start to fight with you a little bit more.
Yeah, and then if you've got a family where you've got one in college, they think they know everything at that point, so they're probably mocking the 15-year-old and making it tougher.
Yeah, they'll say, you know, when I was your age, they do that even, you know, in their 20s.
So here's my question. You take on this as a career, and you develop this path, and you want to help parents, you want to help teens. You know, what do you look back as your own experience that you bring to the practice?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing was I spent about 12 or 15 years working in high schools as an English teacher, counselor, and administrator. And you want to talk about seeing real, raw emotion on a daily basis. That's the place to do it. So I have kids of my own. I got a lot of education, but at the end of the day, those hours spent at the high school were really valuable.
The one thing I think we always miss is we need to shut up and listen more.
Listening is huge. It's just a big thing. And empathizing. I don't think parents learn how to empathize. And what kids often want is just for their parents to listen to them, to validate their feelings. They're not looking for advice. That's all they're looking for is just to be heard.
And don't you run into this, too? I know I do, where your teen might be bringing something up to you, which in your level of experience in life is frankly not that big a deal. And it's kind of stupid, and the solution's right in front of you. But you can never forget what it felt like to be 13, 14, 15. You got to go back to that spot so you can understand how it's hurting him at that point.
Yeah, really. And like I said, that's that empathy piece. It's just sort of kind of getting inside their heads and understanding what they are feeling and not making it about a parent. And you know what? They don't really want to hear your stories.
That's exactly right. And the mistake we make as dads in particular, we're wired as men to fix it, right?
You know what? And I do share my stories, but here's the thing. You got to look at your kids' nonverbals. When they start to roll their eyes and go, I've heard it before, shorten it up and move on. But as a parent, I'm lecturing. I'm giving the story no matter what. I just know it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, because the more you listen, the more respect you're going to get. And to me, the more your kid's going to come to you and tell you the things you'd like to know if you are the person they can come to and listen. Look, you're a parent. Judgment is part of being a parent, but don't judge first.
No, listen, you know, when your son tells you something that they did really wrong, instead of reacting out of anger, the first question might be a very gentle, well, why did you make that decision?
As you grit your teeth and curl your toes up in your shoes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's really a hard thing to do. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but if you could actually start there before getting angry, you might pull some information out of your teenagers that you didn't have. Why did they try that risky behavior? Well, everybody was doing it. Well, how'd you feel after you did that? Well, I felt really stupid. I probably shouldn't have done that. And that's the feeling you want to validate, not beat up for the bad behavior.
Well, I love the idea of starting a family tradition. I think most of us who have families, and my kids are college and aged kids, you think back and you go, well, I wish I had done this more. I wish I'd done that more. In general, you didn't miss that much. If you did a good job and you loved them, you probably did okay. But along with that, I do think it's difficult being a teen. I do think there's that many distractions. But I think the one thing you got to do, shut the computer off when you have the family together.
That's huge. And make cell phone-free, tech-free free times of the day, be it dinner, be it breakfast, you know, that family activity like you were saying, you know, like we were talking about. If you start a tradition, there's a good chance that they'll take that tradition and pass it down to their kids.
Absolutely.
So just huge bonding going on, and getting rid of those electronic distractions can be difficult for some, and parents are just as guilty as teens of checking their email and texts as well. So we need to be aware of that.
And a great time to talk to them is when you're trapped in the car together. You've got that iPod-free zone, no cell phone, and you actually talk to your kids when you have that time.
Car time is the gentle conversation time.
Because you got it. They're captive.
You know, and don't try and talk about anything serious. You know, I always say to parents, share slice of life stories from your day, and then they'll do the same. And that really gives you some insight when they tell you a little story that happened in the lunch line. That's the kind of stuff that really lets you know what your kids are doing.
It's good advice, and if you need help, he's there to help you. Go to teenparentingexpert.com. I'm looking at the website now. It's terrific. You got a lot of good vital information there to get you started. That's teenparentingexpert.com with ways to contact Dr. Russell Hyken as well. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Happy holidays.